Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by His Spirit, and I'm so glad that He is. Today is Tuesday, May the 10th, 2022. Now I forgot to flip my calendar, so I apologize for yesterday saying that yesterday was the 11th when it's not. But today is Tuesday the 10th, 2022. Yesterday was the 9th. In yesterday's broadcast, I did greater measures. And I thank God for that. But I introduced it as Monday the 11th, but it was really the 9th. May the 9th, 2022. I thank God for that. Today is Tuesday, May the 10th, 2022. The day I helped my daughter move. Whoa, am I tired. But anyway, God is mightily moving by His Spirit, and good things are going on in the spirit realm. The Lord is moving by His Spirit in heaven and on earth. You know, I saw a video from Sid Roth. Somebody went to heaven, and they said the big thing in heaven right now is they're anticipating the rapture, where God take His people off earth. Now, I believe firmly that His return is imminent. And I believe firmly that this is the season that could possibly happen. However, I'm not in a hurry. Whenever God tell Jesus to go get His bride, His church, I'm all for it. But I want to work every day. I want to do these broadcasts every day, and whatever I can until He come and part the sky, meet us in the clouds. A lot of things I believe all that's about to happen too. Because the Lord always redeems His people and keeps them out of judgment. You know, the word says if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. Now, for the people that judge themselves, they won't be judged. They don't have to go through I put it this way. They don't have to go through the seal judgments. I believe that the church will be raptured just before the seal judgments begin. See, the Lord told me I was standing right where I am now in my garage where I do these broadcasts. He said, I'm not moving you out of His way, talking about the Antichrist and Satan. I'm moving you out of my way. So I know people like to argue and figure out when Jesus is going to come back. And remember something, Jesus don't even know. He's waiting on the Father to tell him. But the Lord did tell me this. He's coming back at the most, strategic moment. And He also told me that He's after sincerity. He's looking for people that are truly sincere. So I encourage people to stay sincere, stay in tune with the Holy Spirit, and don't get caught up in anything of this world. You know, people who try to follow God and they don't really drive out. You know, Israel didn't do a good job of obeying God because they didn't drive out the Philistines. And they didn't do a good job, the Canaanites, not just the Philistines. And they didn't do a good job of, a thorough job, I put it that way, of driving out the Canaanites because their leaders died. See, some people only love God through leadership. If they got good leaders, they'll do good. But when their leader die, and I've seen it so many times, when grandma die, the grandmother, especially in the black community, she would love God and people would love God, or they'll go to church as long as she was living. But when she die, and I've seen this, then the whole the church just scatter. You know, not the church, but those that were not dedicated, they stop going, they stop learning, they stop till they get in trouble. Then the wisest of the ones that get in trouble come back to the Lord and be stable. And then those that were more half-hearted about it, they wonder about it in the world. But this is the thing, this is the problem. And when people tolerate the world somewhere, and they trust, people do what they trust. They obey whatever they trust, that's what they obey. That's what everybody has in common. But when people trust God, they trust God. And they don't deviate, they don't backslide, they don't go backwards. Everybody else around them will go, can do whatever they want to do, but they are stable in the Lord. And they example their children that way. And the wisest of them train their children also. Some people don't train their children. But they love God and they're dedicated. And their children do other things. But I've seen people train their children, read the word with their children, talk about the word with their children, enjoy the Lord in their presence. And when both parents do it, those are the wisest children I have seen in my life. And as long, see, those that drive out the darkness, they live without interference. And some people never learn to live without interference because they don't surrender their whole life to God. And they allow other things to hinder them from yielding completely to the Lord. And they hold on to hurts, or they hold on to weaknesses, or they hold on to fears, unchecked fears. And I've seen people that I love have unchecked fears in their lives. Unnecessary. And I know some things, and the enemy dispatches he under his control are fallen angels and demons and even backslidden people and wayward people. They're under his spell, you know. So he'll send hindrances. Like an example, for every family, the enemy has sent some kind of spirit, and sometimes the Lord will expose to me what it is. And something happens in their lives, and the enemy has sent a spirit to govern that family. Or not to he can't just govern a family, but to hinder that family. And so when things happen against people, the enemy tries to hurt them while they're weak, you know. So, I know, and my father, I'll just use me for an example. I said, Lord, what kind of spirit did the enemy send to hinder my father, my daddy's house? He said, a spirit of suppression. Suppression fights success. Now, that don't mean that every Hamby is not successful at all. But because they were prone to be, especially my dad's line, they were prone to be successful. The enemy wanted to prevent that. And he sent a spirit of suppression to hinder it. You know, my dad used to box. And he almost did an exhibition match with Joe Louis in World War II. But the ship was a day late and somebody else did the bout. And Joe Louis knocked him out. But if my dad fought Joe Louis and got in, you know, I'm glad that his life went the way it did, because what would have happened if he beat Joe Louis? You know, the Lord had a path for him. And beside that, the Lord, my dad had other, he had inventions that he never did. He thought of inventions that got invented, like the shock absorber on the car. Not the shock absorber, but the bumper absorber. Before that, in the 60s, they used to bolt the bumper to the frame. But my dad had the idea to make a shock, something that would absorb energy. And he told people and they laughed at him. Then somebody else invented it. You know, but he thought of it back whenever he thought of, you know, before it happened. But he had the idea, you know. And he was some kin to Andrew Beard, the man who made the coupler on the train. And I don't know how he was related. He was my dad's great uncle or somebody, but I don't know how. I never understood how he was related, but my dad told me that he's, in other words, the enemy knows sometimes that some people are prone to be successful. And from no matter, and if I told all the things that happened to my dad, he saw both of his parents killed when he was 5. He was raised by his grandparents. And he still ended up successful. He worked a blue-collar job, but he pastored 3 churches. He did things that was just over the top amazing when you look at it from where he came from. So the enemy tried to shut down his life. And no matter what happened to him, no matter what he saw, he just plowed through it like a Sherman tank. I mean, nothing stopped him. He was unstoppable. And he was dedicated and sincere. Now I put his broadcast on audio page 8. You can listen to him yourself, and you can see what you know when I listen to him. You know, and hear him sing, and I listen to him preach. His heart was dedicated. Now I watched this man. I lived under the same roof with him all my life. He preached before I was. He was preaching way before I was born. And I watched him come home from work tired. He had one of those jobs you get dirty. He took a shower at work. He didn't have to take a shower at home. During the week, he took a shower at work. And then he come home and he would feed the birds. The birds used to wait. The birds used to wait on the power lines around 3:30, 4 o'clock when he would pull up. They would wait. And he'd feed the birds, and they'd be birds and eating in the yard. And he'd be humming a song while he's doing all this. Then on Friday or Saturday, he'd do a sermon. He'd write a sermon out. And he'd drive all the way to Utah, Alabama. That's about a good hour and a half drive away. Preach one Sunday, one church. The next Sunday, 2 churches. Come back home, be at work at 6:30 or whatever time he had to be there, and work a shift and come home. And my mother taught school. And they both went to Utah and never complained about it. So I thought that was normal until I got grown. And then I realized it was impressive, all of it. So the Lord had to train me how this world works. To the pure, everybody's pure. I thought every family was like mine. I thought what they did was normal. And then as I started working on people's cars, at their houses, I learned another side of life. I saw things I never saw before, heard things I never heard before. Now, the point of all this is sincerity without interference. When people are sincere to God and they do their part about driving out the darkness, then they become useful to God. And as I drew near to the Lord myself, I drew near and he drew near to me. I learned some things. I drew near to the Lord some more. He drew near to me some more. And he taught me. And that there, when you hear my testimonies, I refer to the same testimonies for a lot of reasons. So I use my testimonies a lot because these were the turning points in my life. You know, in 1987, you know, I always talk about when I almost got in a fight at work with Slim. He was about 20 years older than me, I guess. He used to work in the mines, but we worked at the same dealership. And, you know, I realized when I was around his age that he was testing me when I was 20. I was about 25, I guess. In 87, I would have been 23 or 24. I was born in 63. 4 years more, I'd be 24 years old. So in his mind, you know, this guy can't be a preacher this young. I'm going to see how dedicated he is. I guess that's what he was thinking. Now, we got along good, but all of a sudden, one day, he just picked at me, and I got mad. I got ticked. and he pushed me to my limit, and the Lord came in just in time. Now, the Lord spoke a word, everlasting love to love a man, whether he does you good or whether he does you evil. And I learned something. And I use this testimony a lot because that word that God spoke to me gave me strength. In other words, that word charged my heart. And then my heart was stable. I wasn't going to cuss and fight anymore. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do that in the first place, but I was so angry I was going to. So I didn't know I had a limit. Now I found out I got a limit and a weakness. And I said, Lord, teach me to love your people. This won't be the last time something like this happened. Now, you know, I grew up fighting. If I had to, I didn't fight a lot, but I didn't like bullies. I wouldn't let people bully me or others. Now, I didn't go starting stuff, but I didn't want to fight. But if somebody was bullying somebody, they couldn't fight or bully me, I'd fight. You know, it just didn't bother me to fight, and I didn't care about getting hurt. So, now, I had to come, when I came to the Lord's side, I had to unlearn some things. I had to learn to bridle those things and do it God's way. And that's, so 87 was a turning point. In 88, that was another one. The Lord taught me in business. I said, well, Lord, I keep having the same occurring problem all the time. What do I do? The Lord told me what to do. I said, thank you. I could tell it would work because when the Lord speaks, it's first pure. Peaceable, easy to be entreated. And so I said, wait a minute, Lord, you know I need to know this a long time ago. I said, how come you didn't tell me? He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. I said, my next question was, what else am I missing out on? Now, he had already trained me about love a whole year. And then now he's training me about following him more so. So these turning points help. Now, I'm saying all this to say this. All those things to say this. The Holy Spirit will relate things to you, and we need that interaction in our lives. We need turning point after turning point after turning point so that we'll be more prone and more useful to God, more prone to obey him. We can serve God with prompt faithfulness. Very important. Now, all these turning points that I talk about. Wow, frog. All these turning points that I talk about are very valuable to me. I learned things that I could not have known any other way. And the Lord, every time he teaches me something, it has enhanced my life. Every time I have a new turning point, I see things on a greater way, and the Lord and the Holy Spirit relates. So, naturally, you know, when the Lord shows you something that's just over the top good, and it gives you so much peace and takes so much trouble out of your life, and it enables you to do things you normally couldn't do, and it glorifies God because you're living in much more wisdom, and another glory of wisdom, and another glory of love, in greater glories of love, greater glories of wisdom. This gets people's attention. The Lord said to me, he said, if you love people, they'll respect you. If you're holy, which is pure, and if you're sincere, that the holiness, if you're holy in the sense of sincerity as a way of life, people will trust you. Because you're obviously trustworthy if you have integrity, like Jesus does, and it gets attention too. Every glory you live in gets attention, and then if you're wise, you'll hold their attention. So, if you grow from glory to glory and you live in those glories, you can live in the glory. You don't have to let God teach you something and then forget it. No, you live it as a way of life. And if you remember it and talk about it and think about it, you don't forget it. I can still remember where I was at when I learned these events, when I learned these things. I can remember whether it was a sunny day or a cloudy day when the Lord spoke these wonderful things to me. Where I was at, what building I was in, and the things that was going on around me. And these turning points help. So naturally, I desire for other people to have turning points and experience the joy that I learned to walk in. And so anything that comes from the Holy Spirit is first pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated, just like James talked about. So sometimes I tell people what the Holy Spirit said, and also what the Holy Spirit did through other people. Now, I talk about Henry Groover a lot. I talk just like I talk about him, Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps. And if people have animosity in their heart against people of different races, and these are all three of these men I just named, they happen to be white. If they have animosity in their heart against another race, if they're black and you're talking about white men that really bless you, if they have animosity to the point that they don't want to hear anything good from about people, then they deny themselves what the Holy Spirit did through people that's not of their race, and vice versa. You know, it's not about race. It's about love. It always will be about love. God made every race, and he's got generals in every race. He's got wonderful people of God in every, and women and children that love him. So people that have not dealt with their racial prejudices or animosities or hurts, then they're not going to, the enemy can easily hinder them from receiving what is a blessing from God. If you don't deal with worldly problems, it's hard to hear God. Now, when I was helping my daughter move, this thought came to me. Some people, they want Jesus to be on their side instead of who he is. People want, you know, just like the people who wanted to make a king out of Jesus. They wanted the fish and the loaves. Jesus had to tell them, if you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have nothing to do with me. And that crowd went home. Now, just like they wanted to make Jesus a king on their terms, people being people in every race, but this is if you don't drive out the darkness of Satan, prejudices, lust, greed, pride, preeminence problems, you know, the leaven of Herod, the leaven of the Pharisees, if you don't drive that junk out of your life, Satan will pull your string. And you'll never learn what you could learn. Some glories are going to come through people of other races. Some glories are going to come from women. Some glories are going to come from men. Some are going to come from boys. Some are going to come from girls that just love God. Not to mention the babies. God can cause them to say things you need. You got to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. See, you don't need a man to train you. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the anointing. It's the anointing through his people. The anointing is the backbone of our preaching and teaching. We can't learn these. You know, sometimes people get confused. They say, well, you're a preacher or you're an apostle. That's why you know these things. Nope. The some of the greatest things that happened in my life happened because of the Holy Spirit, but I did it as a Christian. All those gunfights I talk about, I'm not bragging about them, but I talk about it because people need this knowledge. I got it from Kenneth Hagin and Chris Lucas and Elder Lewis. Chris Lucas was the first person to talk to me about authority. And then people like Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps, Scott Webb, Frank Matchin, many pastors, A.J. Johnson. A lot of pastors talked about it. But I first learned about it from Chris Lucas. He was a co-worker, a friend. And he got saved a few months before I did. But he went to the Church of the Nazarene, and he had a good pastor, and he really loved God. He was sincere. Then the second, then Elder Lewis and all those pastors I named talked about it. But Kenneth Hagin, when I got his tape, that's when I learned to fight like a soldier. Now, God used people of many different races and many different age groups to help me get to that point. And the Holy Spirit communing with me one-on-one. But when people have satanic junk in their life that they didn't deal with, it could even be in their blind sight. In their blind spot. The enemy gonna tell he pulled his string. And I realized something earlier today. I said people they swallow the bait and the hook, and they swimming free, but they on a slack line. Now think about a fisherman. You know, when we fish, you can tell when the float go down. All right, he got the bait and the hook, but you have to set the hook. So if you try to set it too fast, you might snag him, and he'll get off the hook. But if you set the hook, some fishermen know just how to set it, especially if they're catching crappies. They know how to gently tug and wear the fish out and then reel them in. All right. Well, some people, they seem to be free and anointed. They are anointed. You can be anointed and have things in your blind spot or unchecked. Living. that's you can have living that you didn't deal with. So when it's time for you to hear something that's about to be a turning point in your life, because you never dealt with this thing, you didn't drive out those Canaanites, those Philistines, you still got enough Philistines hanging around to give you trouble. You just like the fish swimming, you think you're free. You're not free because you didn't get rid of the junk. You're just swimming with a slack line. And every time you're about to enter into a glory, the enemy set that hook, keep you out of it. Problem. See, and I say, Lord, what is it? I speak English. I tell people these things all the time. Many people that know me have heard my testimonies. And everybody that know me, they know about newlivingletters.com. And I tell them about it. Sometimes I refer to different broadcasts. But the enemy got such a stronghold in their life, they can't listen to it. But the right people will listen to it and learn something. Just like I listen to Henry Groover. And I refer people to listen to Henry Groover's testimonies. It's not just, it's a blessing. Sometimes when I want to take the edge off, I listen to his testimonies and I learn, I love it. I love good preaching and good teaching. I was always that, you know, once I got to know the Lord, it don't bother me to hear what God is doing through others. I used to listen to, I had some tapes back in the day of Creflo Dollar and eventually CDs. And when I would drive out of town, now in the 80s, I would drive out, I would put one of his tapes in, and I could listen to that man all. I could drive all night when I listened to him. The anointing. Kenneth Hagin, I could listen to him all night long if I had to go out of town and drive all for hours at night. Same thing with Charles Capps, same thing, you know, Scott Webb. I could listen to these people talk. And I love my pastor. He said he had a prophecy. I went back and got the CD. I listened to that. I probably wore that CD out. Listen, people are of they yield to the Lord, and the Lord the anointing on their life. The Lord used them to help us learn. And sometimes I'm learning while I'm talking. But some people, if they don't get rid of the things that's not of God. See, John said, love not the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Don't love those things. Hate those things. I did a broadcast last year about holy hatred. The word show you what is holy to hate, lust, pride, greed, and preem, all the Pharisee leaven and the Herod leaven. Hate that stuff. Hate it. Don't love it. Because if you swallow those bait hooks, you're swimming with you think you're free in the Lord. In time you're about to enter a new glory, the enemy set the hook. Keep you out of it. That ought to make you mad. I'm trying to make you mad. You know, Joseph Wells said, if you're going to be a good gunfighter, you got to be, first you got to get mad. Mad enough to kill, mad enough to shoot. Well, you got to drive Satan out. And especially things that you didn't deal with yet. You got to say you hate it. That's how I got rid of lust and greed and pride and all of it. I said I hate it for years. And then I was able to live without interference. Now, I happen to be out of time. Oh, I hate being out of time. But I'm out of time. But the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in throughout your life. Stay in victory. Stay in the love of God. Stay in the flow. Ask God to usher you into new glory.